Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this fellowship. Lord God, Wednesday night is special as we go through the book of Matthew, Lord God. We ask that you would bless us, Lord God, with wisdom from on high and understanding, Lord God, simple understanding that would get us to the place where we could operate in wisdom and through wisdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask forgiveness for my sins and all the sins of those that are under the sound of my voice. And we ask to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Your word says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And that is what we desire of you, Lord God. We need more of you. As always, I say, Lord, please increase in me as I decrease. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And all those that agreed said, amen.
Amen.
And so, people, we are here in Matthew chapter 7. Starting at verse 6, and it reads as follows: Give not that to which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, notice the first part. We always say the second portion of this, don't cast your pearls before swine, and we use that as a major metaphor for this whole verse. But look at what he said. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Those things that are holy, those things that are righteous, you don't give that to people who cannot receive the righteousness of God. Neither do you give those special things like pearls, those nuggets that we give away, to those that are of a swine or pig nature. Why? Because this is the sign of them. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you or tear you with it. So I ask you a question. Have you ever gave them pure word and they could not receive it? And then they turn around and try to mock you or tear you up with it? Well, that happens a lot. That happens a lot. And the goal is this. You need to kind of know where people are. Don't cast those things before them so that you could be used later in case you may have to get them to the place that they have to get to in God. We don't want to set standard against someone who cannot receive what you have to say. But we want to be very careful and meticulous in the way we do things. Let our light shine. Let our living shine that people would want to do what they want to do in the things of God and reach for him on their own. Let us not get caught up into trying to push Jesus. Because when we're pushing him, when we're pushing the word of God, when we're pushing truth, and we're being very pushy about it, you may be pushing up on a dog, or you may be pushing up on a swine. And they're going to take the very thing you pushed them with and turn around and just waiting on for an opportunity so they can tear you up with it. Well, I know you told me this, but look at where you are now. Look at what you're doing now. And so you could avoid that if you just be cautious about who you're laying this precious holy word before. If you notice, even God doesn't give you pearls and nuggets of wisdom unless you get to the place where you study the word of God. Why is that? This is why the scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, by rightly dividing the word of truth. He wouldn't have to say right if there wasn't a wrong way to do it. So let's just be mindful of who we are dealing with. We want to show them Jesus by our actions. We want to show them Jesus by our love, but we don't want to push them and push the word on them. And we got to be very careful because you may be starting a problem where people will run from the word. And then that may be held to your account. So you need to talk to God before you start pushing. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, look, he goes on and he says, for everyone that asked it, ask, receive it. And he that seeketh, find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. So that goes right in vain with what we just read. You don't want to push the word of God upon people. You want to ask so that it be given of how to deal with people. You want to seek God's face so that you can operate where you're winning people and not tearing or turning them away. Because swine cannot receive nuggets of the kingdom. They're swine. They were created to do one thing. And until they change, that's all they're going to do. Dogs cannot receive the blessings of holy things. They're dogs. And what they're going to do, take it and bury it in the backyard. That's all they're going to do. And so a lot of times, because we love people and we want people to be where we are, we push things. But he said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that is the message that we want to give people too. When we know that they are swine, when we know that they are dogs, we don't want to give them very holy, deep instruction. We don't want to give them that. We want to teach them how to ask God, how to seek his face, how to knock at the door of Jesus that they too may be saved. We want to just keep it very simple. There's an acronym, and treat them with the KISS, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. And we want to follow that. We want to follow that. For everyone that asked it, it says, and they receive it. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, the door shall be open. Now, this is Jesus talking directly, and he's telling you that if you ask the question, then you're going to receive the answer. If you seek him, then you're going to find him. That's a guarantee. And if you knock at the door, he will open and come on to you and bless your life and change your life. But you have to do this from your own heart. You have to ask, you have to seek, and you have to find. He said, and then he goes to prove himself in 9. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he seek a fish, will give him a serpent? If you or ye then, being evil, know how to give good fruits unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? So why would you not ask? Why would you not seek? Why would you not find? And have the assurance. He's giving you the assurance to let you know that if you ask, I will answer.
Amen.
That if you seek, I will show up. And if you open up that door, see, you'll find him if you seek. And if you open up that door, he will come in and make his abode with you and change your life for the rest of your life. And this is the major issue. See, a lot of people don't want to receive Jesus because he'll change your life. Some people love life the way they are. And some people are not so religious that they want to play games. See, but he'll change your life right where you are. He'll start to change things and things won't start happening. There's a price. The Bible says, count the cost. There's a price for yielding your life to Jesus. And that price is that you'll never be the same. He will change you for the better for the rest of your life. And that means you're going to have to let some things go. You don't never have to let the people go because you don't own the people. But you're going to have to learn how to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to ever let the people go. You can pray for anybody. You don't even see them no more. You can just pray for them and ask the Lord to do a mighty work in them. Scripture 12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So this covers the law. This covers the law of Moses and the law of the prophets. Because a lot of people get it twisted. There was not just the law of Moses. There was the law of the prophets also. See? And this here, if you do on the men as you would have them do onto you, basically, you have resolved everything. You have covered yourself by doing what's right to them, like you would have them do what's right to you. It says in 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be, and many there be which go in thereat. Oh, they had the thereat together. It looked like a whole new word to me. I hadn't seen it like that. Many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So look here. Look at what he said. Now you got to strap it like this for yourself. Enter ye straight in at the gate. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Have your mind made up and go straight for the things of God. For wide is the gate and broad is the road, is the way that leadeth to destruction. So he says, enter ye straight at the gate. For wide is the gate. And then he starts to explain the roads that are on the other side of that gate. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So for those who would look at the wide, the broad road, once they come into the gate, if they're not going straight in to change, if they're not going straight in to give God glory, if they're not going straight in to make life easier for themselves, to make life better for themselves, but they're coming in and they're jumping on the broad road, and everything is on that broad road. And many, he says, there be which go in thereat. So they go in and then they follow the broad way. But that is the way that leads to destruction. So you, what are you telling me, Brother Mills? You mean tell me that there's a road that is a part of the door, entering into the door, that can lead to destruction? Yeah. The scripture says so. The broad way leads to destruction. And let me show you the broad way in a minute. 14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. So you got to follow straight in the gate. And that straightness is narrow. That is a very narrow path. You don't get to follow the broad path where you get to bring in everything and do everything and have it your way. It's not Burger King. This is Christ. So we have to remember that straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. Look at that. Few there be that find it. So that means people have entered into the gate and called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they got caught up into religion. And so they're practicing the same stuff that everybody else is practicing. I want to be like Mother So-and-so. I want to be like Pastor So-and-so. I want to be like Bishop Flip-Flap. See, and we don't need that. We don't need a carbon copy. God is so infinite that he can make you an individual sculpture for yourself. He does not need to carbon copy anybody. The carbon that we do and the copying that we do and the fellowship that we do, we may say the same things to glorify God, because I don't care how many times you say he's good, he's good. And I don't care how many people say he's good, he's good. And he's going to always be good. It is the goodness of God that delivered us. It is the goodness of God that saved us. It is the goodness of God that snatched us out of the miry clay. It is his goodness that covers us. That's why you have mercy, which covers you for your faults, and grace, which leads you into a better life. All of this has to deal with the tender mercies of God, because he is good. You can't get it no better than that. But getting back to the scripture, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So on the other side of the gate, there is a life that you need to be following for. There's a life that you need to be looking for. There's a life that you need to be changing from the old way, because you come into the gate and you don't need to step onto the broad way, because the broad way has a life that looks just like those that are outside the gate. When you accept Jesus Christ, there ought to be a difference. When you accept Jesus Christ, you ought to dress different. See, you ought to be more concerned about certain things, about the needs of others. You ought to love more. There needs to be some evidence of why it is you say you saved. If you was out there dropping it like it's hot, you can't be dropping it at every pole on the church grounds just because you see a pole. You can't do that. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that life is a very narrow road. That is the narrow way which leadeth to life. And then he said this, and few there be that find it. A lot of people come in for the religiosity of the church, to be a part of some type of social group or some social experiment or whatever they come in for. They come in for money. They come in for singing. They come for everything else under the sun, but they don't come in to give God their best. They don't come in, see, because that's the narrow way. They don't come in to change their lives to a better place, because that is the better way. In order for you to save your life, Jesus said you got to give that life up. So if you didn't give that up, and once you come into the gate and you find out you got to give it up, then you have a choice. Well, many people get on the broad road. We need to stick to the narrow road, because few there be that find it. Few there be that can even see it, because they're already coming to God with a preconceived understanding from what they've already learned as a sinner. You got to change it. No longer not my will, Lord, but thine will be done. Tell me the will of God. Well, then you can't even see that narrow road. But once you get in, once you have followed his will, then you know it for the rest of your life. And this is different than anything you have ever seen. I guarantee you. 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Listen, after entering into the gate, after telling you how you ought to treat men, after letting you know the assurance that I'm not going to give you a serpent for a fish, that you can come to me, you can receive from me, you can find from me, and I will open the door onto you. You can get these things, and you're guaranteed these things. But once you get in, now there's something else that has to go on. See, it amazes me that people want salvation and churches want salvation. Everybody trying to get everybody saved. But ain't nobody trying to make disciples of Christ, because that's where the cost comes in. That's where you have to learn what you have to give up. People don't want to be discipled. They just want to join church as is some type of brand new social club. And we got to change the mentality of that. We are called by Christ. The Great Commission is to go ye into all the world and make disciples, not to get people saved. Why is that important? Because what can you do with your old sinful self? What can you do with your manipulating, lying self? What can you do as a man or as a woman to get somebody saved? Salvation was done on Calvary's cross by Christ alone. You don't even do that. You're just getting them to confess something, and then you leave them to themselves. That is not your job. Your job is to get them to come in, that they may confess Christ, that you may start to disciple them, that they would learn of him, that they would understand who he is, how he walks, how he maneuvers, how these things is happening. We don't even get to the place where we get to teach people these things, because we're too busy trying to get people to fill the roster in the church. Oh, just come on, get saved. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Christ take care of the rest. The devil is a liar. If you don't reach for him, you will not find the narrow way. You will not find the narrow way. And then they got these false prophets that are going to try to keep you on the broad way and not deal with you and try to get you onto the level way, the narrow way. Why? Because they don't want you to point them out. Because once you're on the narrow way, you can spot a false prophet so far that it ain't funny. So he says, beware of false prophets. And then he tells you why. They come to you in sheep's clothing, so they look like the church, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He says in 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Stop. You shall know them by their fruits. Do they bear the fruits of righteousness? Do they bear the fruits of holiness? Do they bear the fruits of fairness? Do they bear equity? Is there any wisdom? See? Has their minds been changed? Or do they still act like the same old funky George from the streets, and now they call him Deacon George? See? Is there a difference? Because if you've had a conversion with Christ and you walked through that door and you got on the narrow way, the road, there ought to be a difference. And the lie of today's church is that you get to stay the same you were and Christ changes you. No. You may not be able to get rid of your sin and you may not be able to get rid of whatever addictions you have, but the one thing that changes instantly is your mind, your heart. Even if you're caught up, it's not where you want to be. We can't have it the way we want to. It's got to be that way. So ye shall know them by your fruits, by their fruits, because your fruits tell on you. What's hanging on your tree will tell on you. We're going to get real deep into that when we get into Matthew chapter 12. I'm telling you, we might get into it now, but Matthew chapter 12 is going to bring it real tough. In 16, he says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And then he asks the question, do men gather grapes of thorns? Do you go to a thorn bush to get your grapes? Or figs of thistles? Do you go to a thistle bush to get what's on a fig tree? No. You go to a fig tree to get figs. You go to a grapevine to get grapes. He says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And you don't have to learn how to do that. Once you become a child of God and you have accepted Christ in your heart genuinely, then guess what you do? You start bringing forth good fruit. And it may be tiny. It may be little. It may not even be that consequential to somebody else's walk. But you build upon the goodness of God. He starts you with a little bit. Just like a baby. He teaches you how to crawl. Then he teaches you how to walk. See? Then he teaches you how to run. See? That's the way this thing works. He says here, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A corrupt tree bringeth forth nothing but evil fruit. So, if you have walked through the gate, if you have accepted Christ and walked through the gate, are you bringing forth good fruit? Does your life show the right evidence? In the court of law, evidence can put you away. If they have evidence against you, it will put you away. Well, we sing the song, I will enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter your courts with praise. Heaven is a courtroom. Mm-hmm. You cannot be on the scales of righteousness if you're standing in the scales of injustice, unfairness, prejudice, manipulation, lies. If all these things is in one person, he will start to work at the beginning. But there ought to be something good that we can hold on to just a little bit to show that you're walking in the right direction. And that's something he gives to those who have received him genuinely. And religiosity ain't it. You cannot put on a religious front. And when you do that, you can act that way for a while until people figure you out. And you always get figured out. Always. He goes on to say in 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So a tree that is totally corrupt cannot bring forth good fruit. And a tree that is totally good cannot bring forth evil fruit. So I've been in the way of the Lord 20 years, brother. Pastor, I've been in the way of the Lord for 20 years. Well, why is all that evil fruit hanging on your tree? You mean to tell me you've had a personal relationship with the scriptures and with God for 20 years, and you still doing the same stuff you was doing back then? There's a lie somewhere. There is a snake in the garden.
Yeah.
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. You are called to bring forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Remember, everybody walked through the door. Everybody got saved. Everybody came through the gate, made the choice of the road that we were going to be on. Everybody. We asked, and God gave. Mm-hmm. And he says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down. So he's bringing forth fruit, but it's just bad fruit. And cast into the fire, which spiritually I like to think, or synonymously, I like to think that's hell fire. Because that's the end of someone that plays the religious game. My brother, these things ought not to be so. He made it clear when he said, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, if you're gathering fruit, why are you, and you want some figs, why are you on a thistle plant? Because every tree is known by its fruit. Mm-hmm. What do they know you by? If Jesus came and the courts of this world rejected him, and you stood in judgment as a Christian, and all this is going to happen on this earth before it's done, would they have enough evidence to convict you for being a Christian? Wow. That's the thought point. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your understanding, Lord God, with us. And I gather, Lord God, that this was a little hard, but it's okay. It's okay. Because we're in the time where we got to quit trying to get these tickled ears and these things that just make us feel so good. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless everybody on the sound of my voice. And make them think about where they are in you. In Jesus' name. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
And
he's coming, get ready, holy children. because deep in your heart, you know what's wrong and know what's right. Don't delay, stop making rich your world anyway. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie, and ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke the keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust gon' get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.
That's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forgave you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out though, you begging again at least. There is hope, seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming, get ready, holy children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming, get ready, holy children.
Cause he's coming.